ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतीपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवीत्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवीत्वरं कर्पूरगौरं करुणावतारं संसारसारं भुजगेन्द्रहारं सदा वसन्तं हृदयारविन्दे भवं भवानीसहितं नमामि भवं भवानीसहितं नमामि। हरि ओम्। हैप्पी न्यू ईयर टू ऑल एंड माय हम्बल प्रोस्ट्रेशंस टू ऑल ऑफ यू। टुडे वी आर स्टार्टिंग अ न्यू टेक्स्ट, शिव वेद सारा स्तोत्रम, which is not only a hymn to Bhagwan Shiva but also has a lot of knowledge in it. So it is a mixture of bhakti and jnanam, and this was composed by Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji. Now the title Ved Sara Shiva Stotram. So stotram means stuti, that is praise of Lord Shiva, Bhagwan Shiva. Stotram is any stotrams, they are stutis or praise of Bhagwan. And why do they say Veda Sara Shiva Stotram? Because the Vedas, first of all, have a lot of stutis of Bhagwan Shiva. The most famous, of course, is the Sri Rudram that we chant all the time, the Rudram, which is from Yajur Veda, which we chant, all of you chant on Tuesday quite often. So that is the most famous. But there are a lot of stutis of Lord Shiva throughout the Vedas, scattered throughout. So Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji has taken the essence of these stutis and composed it into 9 verses. So that's why Veda Sara. Sara means the essence. Veda Sara also means Bhagwan Shiva is the essence of the Vedas, the main knowledge of the Vedas is about Lord Shiva in this particular case, and so it is the supreme essence, the truth, the essential truth of the Vedas, which is in this hymn. Now, Karpura Gauram, we started that. Karpura Gauram means it is white like camphor. See, Bhagwan Shiva's complexion is white like Karpura, like camphor, except, of course, his neck is blue because he swallowed the poison. But otherwise, he has a beautiful, fair, white complexion. Karpura Gauram, Karunavataram, and he is the
Hold on.
avatar of Karuna means the manifestation of Karuna. If you want to see compassion visible, we see it in Lord Shiva. He is very, very kind, very compassionate. And also he is easy to please. If you worship him sincerely, he very quickly showers his grace and blessings on us. So Lord Shiva is Karuna Avataram. He is the manifestation of Karuna, compassion. Samsara Saram. So he is the Om, the Brahman, the essence of the whole universe. See, the whole universe has name and form. We'll talk about that later on. But what is the essence? Essence of that is Brahman or Om, what we call as Atma or Paramatma. But the Supreme Consciousness, which is supporting this whole universe and pervading the whole universe. So this whole universe is nothing but that Om, nothing but that Brahman. So Lord Shiva is that Karpura Gauram, Karunavataram, Samsarasaram, Bhujagendra Haram. Bhujagendra. Bhujagendra means the snakes. So Haram, his necklace, are snakes. Snakes represent that he has control over his mind. He has complete control over his mind. So Bhujagendra Haram. Then it says, Sada Vasantam Hridayaravinde. Please always stay in the lotus of my heart. Hridaya Aravind. Aravinda means lotus. So why is the heart compared to the lotus? Lotus, as we all know in Vedanta, I think I talked a little about it on Sunday also, is worshipped through all our scriptures, and a lot of gods and goddesses have lotus, like Saraswati Mother is on lotus and so on. So lotus grows in dirty water, but growing out of dirty water spreads its fragrance, its beauty all over the world. So same way, a wise person, an enlightened master, stays among us, among all of us, but he or she is able to go, rise above and beyond all the problems, the difficulties of the world, and go above this entire creation and reach the highest state of enlightenment. And so Bhagwan Shiva, when he is in the lotus of our heart is compared to a lotus, then we also can go beyond the bondages, the sorrows, the difficulties of this world, the ignorance of this world. So he says, Sada Vasantam. I hope the Lord always stays in the lotus of my heart. Heart, we know, is not the pumping heart, but the middle of the chest where the intellect resides with all these good qualities. That is called Hrit. And a lot of people meditate upon the heart chakra, which is the Anahat chakra, which is in the middle of the chest. So Sada Vasantam Hridayaravinde Bhavam Bhavani Sahitam Namami. Bhavam means Bhagwan Shiva we address as Bhavan, but not you as disrespectfully, but Bhava means you, like in Hindi they say aap, or in Gujarati they say tame. They don't say tu. When you want to talk to somebody respectfully, we don't say tu, we say aap. So Bhavam in Sanskrit, or Bhavan, is you say you, but with respect. So when you want to respect somebody, so that is one meaning of Bhavam, that he is addressed respectfully as Bhagwan Lord Shiva. Bhavam, the word bhava means being. Being means existence. So Lord Shiva is the essence of being, of existence. And bhavam also means the cycle of birth and death. They say, Bhavasagar mein main doob gaya hoon. I am in the Bhavasagar, in the ocean of birth and death. Only you can take me out, Lord. So Bhagavan Shiva is the one who can take us out of this cycle of birth and death and take us out of that to the higher. So that's why lotus and all this are mentioned. that we pray to Bhagwan that may I also get out of the bondages of this world and go higher. And Bhavani, Bhavani is Mother Goddess, Mother Parvati, Lord Shiva's consort. She said to be the giver or the source. She is the giver of all goodness to us. She is the source of the entire creation, the creation, sustenance, dissolution. She is in charge of that. So she is the creator, sustainer, destroyer of this universe. And she is Shakti. She is Bhagwan's Shakti. So that is how this Shakti, we will talk about how this Shakti comes into being. We'll talk about that later. So Namami, Bhavam Bhavani Sahitam Namami. So when we bow down at the temple, we shouldn't just bow down like that, but we should go down on our hands and knees and put our head down in humility. Some people do Sashtang Namaskar, which is fine. Or at least get down on your hands and knees. So humility. So Namami means I bow down to you, O Lord Shiva. Now, Veda Sara. Vedas are the Upanishads, our spiritual texts. So what are the two topics covered in the Vedas? Of course, there are thousands of topics. It's so vast. But the two main topics covered in the Vedas are Dharma and Brahma. Dharma means how I should live my life, what I should do, the right and wrong, do's and don'ts. So that is Dharma. You know, Dharma, of course, has many meaning, also means religion and so on. But here, Dharma means the do's and don'ts, what should and should not be done. And the second is Brahma. Brahma means Brahman, the supreme reality. So Lord Shiva rides on Nandi, the bull. And he said to be Vrishabharuda, the one who rides on the bull. The bull is said to represent Dharma. The bull is the representation of Dharma. So Bhagwan rides on bull means he is always practicing Dharma, and he is the supreme reality. So Dharma, and for us, if we want to attain Lord Shiva, we want to attain the supreme being, we have to, first thing is we have to live a life of Dharma, and then of course, you know, do bhakti, jnanam, all that. So that is the essence of this. Then the question is, Upanishads also talk about cause and effect. So we see this world, right? We see this huge world with mountains, trees, birds, animals, plants, so many planets and galaxies and so many millions and billions and trillions of miles. So question is, where did this come from? What is the cause of this universe? So Bhrigu Rishi, before he became a Rishi, he was a student. He goes to his father, Varuna, and Adihi Bhagwan Brahmeti. O Bhagwan, O my father, O my lord, please teach me Brahman. Now, what is the benefit of knowing this knowledge? Why should we, you know, get up in the morning, meditate and practice Dharma and do puja and read and all that? So Ashvalayana is another great Rishi. In Kaivalya Upanishad, he said, what is the benefit of studying Brahma Vidya? So Ashvalayana was a great Rishi himself. He had composed a lot of mantras in the Vedas, but he needed the final realization. So he goes to Brahmaji, the teacher, and he asks him, Adihi Bhagwan Brahma Vidya Varishtham Sada Sadbihi Sevyamana Nigudham Yayachirat Sarvam Papam Vyapohya Parat Param Purusham Yati Vidwan. So he says, O Bhagwan, Guru, Adihi Brahma Vidya, teach me the Brahma Vidya which is Varishtham. Brahma Vidya is the supreme, higher than all other Vidya, science, mathematics, engineering, law. All that is considered upper, lower, and Brahma Vidya is para, superior. सदा सद भी सेव्य माना, इट इज ऑलवेज परस्यूड बाय हु, बाय द सात्विक पीपल, साधु पीपल, द पीपल हु आर गुड, हु आर सात्विक, दे आर द वंस हु विल परस्यू ब्रह्म विद्या. अदरवाइज अ गाय हु इज इंटरेस्टेड इन द वर्ल्ड एंड पार्टीज एंड ड्रिंकिंग एंड ऑल इज नॉट गोइंग टू हैव टाइम और इंटरेस्ट. सो इट इज परस्यूड बाई सात्विक पीपल. सो इफ आई वॉन्ट टू परस्यू धर्म ब्रह्म विद्या, आई हैव टू मेक माई माइंड सात्विक. एंड इट इज निगूढ़, इट इज वेरी वेरी डीप, इट इज हिडन. दिस नॉलेज इज नॉट ईजी. यू कैनॉट से ओ आई रीड द बुक एंड आई गेट इट और आई यू नो नो. यू नीड टू गो टू अ टीचर, सरेंडर एंड देन गेट दिस नॉलेज फ्रॉम द टीचर. ओनली अ टीचर कैन रिवील. यू कैन रीड एंड मेमोराइज दीज मंत्रस, बट टू एक्चुअली गेट द एसेंस ऑफ इट वी नीड अ टीचर. यया चिरात सर्वम पापम व्यपोह्य, एंड व्हाट दिस ब्रह्म विद्या विल डू, अचिरात विदाउट डिले सर्व पापम व्यपोह्य, अ पर्सन हु परस्यूज दैट गोज बियॉन्ड ऑल पापस, ऑल सिंस. विल टॉक अबाउट व्हाट इज द मीनिंग ऑफ पाप. परात्परम पुरुषम याति विद्वान, एंड अ वाइज पर्सन हु हैज ब्रह्म विद्या गोज टू द सुप्रीम अबोड. सो दैट इज द ग्लोरी ऑफ दिस नॉलेज. यू नो इट इज highest knowledge, it is pursued by sattvic people, it is deep hidden and very quickly removes our papas, our sins, and takes us to the highest. So Bhrigu, who asked his father Varuna to teach me this knowledge, in the Upanishad he says, yato va imani jayanti yena jatani jivanti yat samivishanti vijignyasasva tat brahma. So what is Brahma? What is Brahma? He says, Yato va imani bhutani jayanti. From whom comes all these beings? They come from him. Him, actually that, because Brahman is beyond male or female. Yena jatani jivanti. Everything comes from Brahman, is sustained in Brahman. And yat sam vishanti. And they merge back into Brahman. And that Brahman, Vijignyasasva, that Brahman, you should know. So now we talk about existence. You know, we see this world, which world exists. It is, we see that. And what is the world? Nama Rupa. All our Prakriti is what? Name and form, right? Anything you have, it is like a tree has a name and a form, camel has a name and a form. So if anything that has name and form is created is by Prakriti, but will perish. And we see that anything that is created will perish. So the source of this name and form should be beyond name and form, because if it is itself name and form, it will also perish. But they say Brahman always was, always is, and always will be. So it is existence. It is not existing, it is not name and form, it is existence. So all beings emerge from that and merge back into that. So that is one explanation of creation. Second is the pervades. Just as gold pervades all gold ornaments, mud pervades all mud pots. So same way, Brahman pervades this entire universe. So everything that you see is actually Brahman. And it will say later on that the world is a Ashtamurti Brit. It is the form of Brahman itself. But it is to some extent an appearance because it is perishing. And Brahman is the substratum. So that's why we say Sat, it is existence, and it is Ananta, it is endless, goes on and on and on, you know, even beyond space, beyond the 14 worlds. Even in Purush Suktam, it says this whole world and this 14 worlds is only a quarter part of God, of that Purusha. Three quarters is beyond that. So you can imagine the vastness of this Bhagavan. So it is Sat, it is Ananta, and then it is Chetana. It cannot be inert. If it was inert, it wouldn't be able to create. So it is Chetana. So Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. So Brahman is Sat, existence. Jnanam is Chit. And Anantam is Anand. It is infinite. So that is the description of Brahman that is in the Vedas. And then in another Upanishad, when the student asks, he says, Sadaiva Soumya Idam Agre Asit. This universe came, there was something before the universe came, always. And that is Brahman, that is to be known. Now, there's a concept of Nirgun and Sagun Brahma. So Nirgun means formless. Formless means has no shape, no form, no color, no appearance, and just infinite goes on and on. In the case of Bhagavan Shiva, the Shivaling represents the formless because it has no hands, no legs. So it is Lord Shiva, but in the formless aspect. So that is Nirgun. And then Bhagavan Shiva's, so then how did the world come into? See, if the Brahman is formless, Nirgun, how could he make a world of form? People always ask. So they say that the Nirgun Brahman was by himself, all alone. You can say Lord Shiva or whoever that your Ishtadevta, or you can say Narayana, was by himself, all alone. And then there came a Sphurna, there came like a movement which said, I am. So a thought arose in that Nirgun Brahma, I am. When that thought arose, that is when the creation started. And every aspect of Brahman has a lot of Shakti, every aspect. So when the creation started, it started with all these atoms. Now, atoms have a lot of power, as we know. You can use an atomic weapon and destroy a city. A small bomb can destroy a whole city, or nowadays, even the whole country. So, when one few atoms have so much power, how much power would be in Bhagwan, the totality? So, the total power in Bhagwan is called Shakti, which we call as Mother Parvati. And so then Bhagwan says, Eko hum bahusyam. I am one, may I become many. So the wish to create, and the moment that happened, Ishvara manifested. That was the manifestation of Ishvara. Ishvara is Sagun. Brahman is Nirgun. Ishvara is Sagun. And who is Ishvara? Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. So Brahma ji the creator, Vishnu ji the sustainer, and Mahesh, the recycler, you can say it. You can say destroyer or the recycler. In our life also, you know, I graduate from college and then I say, I should do something. You know, I don't have any money. I need a job. So the thought comes, may I go get a job? So I go get a job. And then I get a lot of money and then say, okay, may I start a business? So the thought arises, and that's how. So same way the thought arose in Bhagwan, in the Supreme Brahman, who became the Sagun. And the world is always created, sustained, destroyed constantly. It happens, we see it in the world also. Like a painter is making a painting, and he makes it and he doesn't like it. So he destroys the paper, throws it away, makes another one. A poet writes poetry and he's not happy, he wants, or a potter, you know, making pottery. He said, this is not good. So he will break it and then take the clay and make another. So same way in Bhagwan, there is constant creation, sustenance, dissolution. Now creation requires rajas to create. So Brahmaji represents rajas, rajoguna. To sustain, you need sattva. So for
That's
that,
why Vishnu.
Bhagwan Vishnu represents sattva. And then for destruction, you need Shakti, which is Mahesh. Again, destruction is not just a random destruction. It is recycling. Like a building is old, you know, we destroy it and make a new building. Or, for example, the earth was filled with dinosaurs. And if Bhagwan Shiva had not sent a comet, to destroy the whole earth at that time, the dinosaurs would still be ruling, and there would be no humans, no computers, nothing. So it is like a flower gets destroyed to become a fruit, fruit gets destroyed to become a seed, seed gets destroyed to become a plant, and so on. So that is tamas. And how many brahmandas are there? We only know this one, 14 worlds. But they say there are countless brahmandas. I don't know how, where are they all, and how can they all be sustained? It's unbelievable. They said the Bhagwan can, in an instant, create countless brahmandas, not just one or two. We think this is great, but there's much more than that all over. So it, this kind of knowledge just, boggles your mind. And these brahmandas, as we mentioned, are sustained, meant created, sustained, and then destroyed. And ultimately, when the pralaya happens, it happens only for one brahmanda. And each brahmanda has its own Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. So Bhagwan, the Supreme Lord, Ishvara, says, look, I don't have time to maintain. So he assigns these people. Okay, you take care of this universe. To take care of, he delegates the work. And the example and all the power is in that Bhagwan. And the example they give is like a king. A king has power, but as he has power as long as he's sitting on the throne. When the king leaves the throne, another king is appointed, then that old king has no power. The power belongs to the throne, or like a president. He may be president for 4 or 8 years. And then when he leaves, the power is in the presidency, not in Trump or Biden or Obama. They are all temporary holders. So same way, the power is in that Supreme Lord, and all these are temporary appearances upon that. And then people ask, who is supreme? So here in Shiva Veda Sara Stotram, we say Lord Shiva is supreme. So Lord Shiva is supreme. In Vishnu Sahasranama, it is said Vishnu is supreme, his thousand names. And in Devi, Devi Puran, Devi Mahatmya, it is said Devi is supreme, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh are serving under her. So not only foreigners get confused, we also get confused, Hindus, that how can you say Shiva is supreme? Or like, Krishna Bhaktas, they say Krishnasya tu Paramatma Swayam. Krishna is Paramatma. Or Ram Bhakta say Shuddha Brahma Paratpar Rama Kalatmaka Parameshwar Ram. You are saying sometimes Ram is supreme, sometimes Krishna is supreme, sometimes Devi is supreme. So who is the one that is supreme? So they say that who actually there is only one supreme, Nirgun, formless Brahman. So when we pick one Ishta Devta, for us that becomes the supreme. That's why Bhagwan in the Bhagavad Gita says, me. In me, this whole world arises, is sustained, it merges back into me. So we say, well, Bhagwan is son of Devaki and Vasudev. No, when Bhagwan is talking as me or I, he's not talking as the son of Devaki or the beloved of the gopis or the friend of Arjuna. He's talking as the supreme reality. So whichever is our Ishta Devta, that is identified as the supreme reality, and everything else is inferior. So there is nothing wrong. If you say my Bhagwan is supreme and the whole universe is under him, as long as we don't fight. In the olden days, people used to go to war. Vaishnavites and Shaivites would actually kill each other. Or they were destroying each other's temples, things like that. So that is foolishness. But one should understand that live and let live. Okay, your Bhagwan for you is superior. My Bhagwan for me is superior. So Nirgun Brahman is only one, but everything else are upadhis or leelas or avataras. So like Bhagwan Vishnu has 10 avataras, you know, Bhagwan Ram and Krishna and Narsimha and Kurma and also many avataras. Shiva also has many avataras, you know, Nandi is an avatar, Veerbhadra, you know, there are so many avataras of Lord Shiva, Shankaracharya ji, Hanuman ji. So the dynasty goes on, and that's for example in Raghuvansh, in the Ram dynasty. First was King Dilip. He was a very noble, very virtuous king. Then his son was Raghu. Sorry. His son was Raghu, then his Raghu's son was Aj, then Dashrath, and then Sri Ram. And each were very, very noble kings. Very noble kings. What to talk, of course, about Ramchandra ji. He was the Supreme Lord himself. So same way, all these different avataras of Lord Shiva have been addressed, and we'll come across them as we cover. Like Veerbhadra was the one that when Daksha, you know, when Sati, you know, gave up her body because Daksha insulted her. You know that story. And she sacrificed her body. Then Shiva, who was Sati, was his, you know, consort, his beloved. So he took out one hair and he threw it on the ground. And from there came Veerbhadra, the most ferocious, who not only destroyed Daksha, but the entire Yajnashala, the whole palace, everything was destroyed. So that is how. So all these avataras we will see from time to time. And another word is sandoha, means each one of these Nirgun Brahman has beautiful manifestations. So these all we will be studying in this Vedasara Shiva Stotram. Now we'll do the first verse. We can sing that. You can keep muted and you can just sing with
It's
Neeru.
on page 90. In
Page
the book.
97 in the book of hymns. Go ahead.
पशूनां पतिं पापनाशं परेशं गजेन्द्रस्य कृत्रिं वसानं वरेण्यं जटाजूटमध्ये सुरंगाङ्गिवारिं महादेवमेकं स्मरामि स्मरारिं महादेवमेकं स्मरामि स्मरारिं.
So you all have that in
So
front
this
of you.
is
So
the
I'll
easy
just
one.
translate and then do a little commentary. We'll only be able to cover one verse today because I wanted to spend some time in the introduction. So Pashu Naam Patim. So Patim means he's the Lord of Pashus. Pashu is translated as animals, but also has a different meaning. And he's Papa Nasham Paresham. He removes all papas. And Paresham, he's the Supreme Ishvara. So here we see alliteration, Pashupa, Pashunam, Patim, Papanasham, Paresham. Then Gajendrasya Kritim, Vasanam, Varenyam. And Gajendra was a demon, so his hide, he was an elephant, we'll talk about that briefly. His hide, his skin, he Bhagwan Shiva wore when he destroyed that evil demon. And he's Varenyam, he is supreme, he is worshipful. That's Varenyam, is like Vara. Vara means the worshipful. Then Jatajuta Madhye Suran Gangavarim. In his matted hairs, he has Ganga. That's why we sing the song Juta Jata Me Gangadhari. You know, we sing that in our Bal Vihar. So he, in his matted locks, is holding Ganga. She's playing and dancing there, and from there he releases it. And Mahadevam Ekam, and this one Mahadeva, that alone, Smarami, I remember, and Smararim, and he is the enemy of Kamdev, Cupid. Not enemy in the sense of this enemy, but he overcame, or he overcame desire. So the first word is Smarami. So not only we should remember the Lord and chant his name and mantras, you should feel the Lord's presence, that Bhagwan is right here with me at all times. So make an effort to feel Bhagwan's presence, that he's everything is him, and inside me also Bhagwan is. So
Everybody.
he's everybody in everyone. Then Pashu. Pashu we translate as animal. So he's, you can say his Pashu Naam Patim, he is the lord of the Pashus, but then that becomes a cowherd, or you know, like that. Pashu means Pashyati, iti Pashu, one who sees, he is a Pashu. So Pashu is not only animal, but anyone that sees, it is Pashu. So one meaning of Pashu is Pashyati na vichintyati. Like a cow sees grass, she goes and eats the grass. She doesn't ask why is the grass green, what is chlorophyll, none of that. Or like Newton, you know, when the
Apple.
apple fell on his head, he asked everybody, why did the apple fall? Why didn't it go down? He said, what are you wasting your time? It's a nice apple, eat it. So there, and is, you know what his mother told him? Newton, make sure you wash the apple before you eat it. Typical mother. But he wanted to know why the apple. So Pashu means one who sees the world and does not think. Another meaning of Pashu is Pashyati. So anybody that is seeing is Pashu. So we are seeing with our eyes, we are Pashu. What do you call birds, animals, fish. Even Gandharvas, even the Devatas, even the Nagas, even the lower worlds. So anybody who perceives is Pashu. So Bhagwan is the Pati, is the Lord of Pashu, not only of the living, but Sthavaram Jangamam. He is the Lord of the inanimate and the animate, one that moves and one that does not move. And Pati means the Lord. Lord does not mean like, you know, they say Rashtrapati, like the Lord of the country, the president. But his duty is not only to get power, but he has to protect his beings. He has to have compassion, and he has to make sure that beings prosper. So that's Lord Shiva. He's not only has the power, but he's very compassionate, and he protects all of us. And a pati, a Rashtrapati, or a leader should empower others, not keep all the power to himself, which Bhagwan does, gives each one of us power to live our life. And then also the food and the movement is given by Bhagwan. So like even ants, they run away when they have sorry. But like, you know, food is also given by Bhagwan. Nanak ji, there was a person who came to him and said, you know, who will take care of me when I get old? So Nanak ji told him, look, you know, you see the moss on the side of the bank of the lake? Who takes care of the moss? Who gives food? If Bhagwan can give food to the moss, which is on the side of the lake, and make sure it grows, why won't he give food to you? Because you are the prime of creation. So the idea is that Bhagwan will always take care of us. And papanasham. And what is papa? Papa means anything that creates obstacles in my life is papa. Like I'm driving and there is a traffic jam, that is an obstacle. So there can be physical obstacles like a traffic jam, or emotional obstacles. You know, I love people, I don't get love back, or you know, things like that. or intellectual. You know, I have so many ideas, but I am not able to carry them out. So all obstacles are removed by Bhagwan Shiva. He is Papa Nasham. He removes all the obstacles, physical, mental. And the word Shiva itself is broken into Sha, E, and Va. Sha means the supreme reality, that, you know, Shankar, which gives happiness to all. So Sha is supreme reality, E is Ishvara, and Va is Shakti. So the supreme Brahman is in his name, Ishvara is there, and Shakti. That's why in Ardhanarishvara we see that the Lord is both male and female. And in chanting his name, it purifies the mind. Paresha means Parascha Ishascha. He is the supreme lord of all. And just chanting Shiva, 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 Om Namah Shivaya, it purifies your mind, removes all the papas, and purifies, and it is Varenyam. And Gajendrasya Kritim Vasanam, and he is wearing the hide, the skin of an elephant. Now, there was a demon called Gajendra, not Gajendra who was saved by Vishnu Bhagwan. This was a different Gajendra. He was called Gajasur. And he was the son of Mahishasur. And you know, Mahishasur, Mardini, we chant. Durga was the one who destroyed Mahishasur. So Gajasur was his son, and he wanted to take revenge on the gods. So he did a lot of tapas. Now, all these Rakshasas, they were Nastic. No, they were not Nastic, they were Astic. They believed in God, but they got power. So he does tapas to Brahmaji, and he says, I should become immortal. Brahmaji says, you cannot become immortal, but if you can find some way to avoid death, go ahead. You know, like Hiranyakashipu said, not inside, not outside, all that. So he says, anybody who has desire or lust should not be able to kill me. Brahmaji said, Tathastu. Because everybody in the world has desire, some lust, something. But Lord Shiva is the one who is beyond all desires. So when Lord Shiva is about to destroy him, because this Gajendra had become very powerful, he was torturing the devas and everybody, that they go to Lord Shiva. When he's about to destroy him, suddenly he gets love and devotion for Bhagwan. He said, Bhagwan, I know I have been bad and my life is at an end, but I want you to use my skin, because he had the ability to become an elephant to hide. So use the skin of my body to cover yourself. And so Lord Shiva was so compassionate. When he died, he took that elephant skin and made a clothes for himself. So Gajendrasya Kritim Vasanam Varenyam. Varenyam means he is worshipful, he is adorable. And then Jatajuta Madhye Sphurat Gangavarim. Jatajuta, in his matted locks, is Gangaji. That's why he's called Gangadhara. And we all know the story of how Bhagirath, you know, his ancestors had committed a sin. They had insulted Kapil Muni and they were cursed. And so they became, he said, you are like stone. So they became just like stone and mud and forever. And they apologized and they said, how can we get saved? So Kapil Muni said, if Gangaji comes from heaven, Gangaji at that time was in heaven with Vishnu Bhagwan, if she comes down, you can be saved. So Bhagirath does a lot of tapas and brings Gangaji down. And Gangaji says, who will bear my force? Because she's coming all the way from heaven to earth. She is actually said to be heaven, earth, and also to go to Patal, into the lower worlds. So he says, well, only Lord Shiva can. So again, he prays to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva says, okay, I will take Gangaji in my head. And then Gangaji came on Lord Shiva's head and started playing around and felt proud. Look, I am on Lord Shiva's head. So Lord Shiva held her and won't release. So Bhagirath says, what is the use? I brought Gangaji from heaven and now he's stuck in Lord Shiva. So he prays to him again. And then Lord Shiva slowly releases Gangaji. So Gangavarim, Jatajuta Madhye. And Gangaji is said to have another quality, Gayantam Gamayanti. Gayantam Gamayati. It takes you wherever you want to go. If you chant Ganga's name, and if you want to go to Vishnu Bhagwan, where she came from, you can go there. If you want to go to Lord Shiva, you can go there. If you want moksha, you can go there. But if you just chant Ganga and don't do anything else, then she will take you to Bay of Bengal. So Ganga has the glory of able to take you to the highest. And also Lord Shiva, in one other incident, you know that there was an argument between Vishnu Bhagwan and Brahmaji, and Lord Shiva settled it. So same way, when there is a dispute, between like brothers or something, then the elders come and tell the brothers, you shouldn't fight. You both of you belong to the same family, which is noble. So same way, when we are into trouble with our gunas, we should rise above gunas to the highest. That is the way to go above above guna. Then Mahadevam Ekam. So one Mahadev. So Mahadev is only one. The Supreme Lord is only one. Mahadev means he's the Lord of all the Devas. Devo ke Dev. Mahadev, he's the Lord of Indra, Varuna, all of those. He's the Lord of the entire universe. He's the Supreme Ekam. He's only one, just as Brahman is only one. He's not many. Ekam Advitiyam Brahma, non-dual Brahman. That's what we worship, the one Brahman who is non-dual. Of course, that Brahman can have different names, and you can pick, like my Ishtadevta is Bhagwan Vishnu or Sri Krishna or so on. And also what it means is that Mahadevam Ekam, God alone I worship. See, what we do, we worship so many other things. We have give importance to so many desires. So he says, our number one desire, my only desire in this life is to reach God. That should be our goal. Ekam Smarami, I remember that one Lord alone. Smarami, I remember him constantly. So constantly chanting the mantras, the name of Bhagwan, and whatever the Ishtadevta is, chanting the mantra in Kali Yuga, japa is the best way to reach the highest. And Smararim, and he is the enemy of Smara. Now, Smara is a name for law for Kamdeva. So you know the story of Kamdeva when Shiva went into meditation after Sati gave up her body, and then there was this Tarakasura who said that when he did tapas, he said, I should only be killed by Lord Shiva's son. And he knew Lord Shiva is in meditation, he's never going to come out. So I am safe. And he was torturing the whole world because nobody could kill him. Because Lord Shiva was in meditation, his son was not born yet. So then the gods go to Kamdev and they tell him, you need to go disturb Lord Shiva. And he says, I'm not going to do it. If I go, I'll get killed. He said, no, but you do it for a higher cause. So he says, okay, for a higher cause, I'll sacrifice. So he goes and shoots an arrow at Lord Shiva, disturbs his meditation, and when he gets disturbed, he opens his third eye and Kamdev is burnt to ashes. Then his wife Rati goes crying to Lord Shiva. She says, why did you do this to him? It was not his fault that he disturbed you. He was provoked by the devas to come and disturb you. So Shiva, as usual, is very compassionate. So he said, okay, even though he's burnt, but he'll become formless. So he is desire or lust. Kama is what desire or lust. And desire, lust is in all of us and has no form, right? Desire, does it have any form? And desire not only can be sensual desire, but it can be a strong desire for money, power, wealth, anything. And he said that this Kamdev will be born in Krishna avatar. In Krishna avatar, Kamdev got a form, Pradyumna. Pradyumna was Bhagavan Krishna's son, and that was Kamdev himself appeared as. So that's what. So smararim, smar. You see, smara means to remember. Smarati means remember in Sanskrit. Also, there is a word smarayati. Smarati means remember. Smarayati means makes us remember. When somebody makes somebody do anything, then it is used smarayati. So Kamdev, the desire, makes us remember again and again what we want. I want this, I want that. And so we are ready to fight, we are ready to cheat, we are ready to hurt others. So then, of course, Bhagavan in the Gita says, Kama Esha Krodha Esha. The desire creates anger if you don't get what you want. And if you get what you want, then you have greed and jealousy and all. So all the negativities start with Kama. Kama is the father of all negativities, desire, anger, jealousy, greed, selfishness. So if you get something, you want more and more. If you don't get something, then you get angry, you get jealous, and you're ready to fight. So he says, I remember that one Lord Shiva who is the enemy, not the enemy in the sense of enemy of Kamdeva, but who has overcome lust, overcome desire. That's why in Gajasur, in Gajendra, he said only a one who has overcome desire, who is the conqueror of desire, I can be killed by. So here we end this, that I remember that one Bhagwan who is the supreme, who is the substratum, who is the source of the whole universe, and who is one is he is the origin of the whole universe. Second is he is the whole universe. So anything that exists is the isness is Bhagwan Shiva. So Bhagwan is the origin. That means one is that, okay, origin, and then the world is separate, but it's not separate. Bhagwan actually pervades. So that is the Shiva I worship, and that is who I remember, and he is the Supreme Lord of the entire universe. So I worship him with form and with formless. Formless, you see, as in Shivling, and form, then I see all his avatars and how they have done so much good, like Bhagavan Vishnu's avatars have done so much. So Lord Shiva also takes the avatar for doing good on this universe. So we'll end here with this shloka. Thank you, everybody. If there's anybody has questions, comments. Yeah, Sharad.
Hari Om. Does Pashunampati, does it only apply at the highest level where he sees overall or the entire cosmos, or can also reflect on this Gnananetram or Trayambakam, the Eye of Wisdom? And the second question,
I'm sorry, ask the question again. I didn't get the question.
this
This
Pashunampati,
little loud.
one who sees or the seer of seers, is overseeing the entire cosmos or the entire universe. Can this name also apply to Trayambakam or Gnananetram, the Eye of Wisdom? Second question is the same. Pashunampatim, is it synonymous with Lord Shiva only, or can it be used with other Ishtadevtas?
No, Pashupatinath is a name of Lord Shiva alone. Pashupati, that's why the Pashupatastra he gave to Arjuna when Arjuna needed this weapon, he came down with a human form, Kirat. And there was a boar, and Arjun shot, and Kirat, the hunter, both shot. And Arjun said, I get the bow, and Kirat was Lord Shiva. So they said, let's fight. So the fight went on for 3 days and nights constantly. Then he was very pleased. Of course, Arjun realized that he couldn't defeat him. So then he realized this was somebody higher. And so Bhagwan Shiva revealed himself and gave him a Pashupatastra, which Arjuna used in the Mahabharata war. So Pashupati Nath is only for Lord Shiva. In fact, the Pashupati Nath temple in Nepal is very famous. And the other I didn't understand, Triambakam, the three eyes are the eye of wisdom. And Pashupati means he is the lord of all creation. Pashupati. Pashyati iti Pashu, one who sees is Pashu. So all of us see. Even in the dark, we may not be able to see, but you wake up at night and you need to go in the middle of the night to the bathroom, you kind of feel your way with your hands, legs, you don't turn on the light. Or like bats can fly in the, because they are blind, but they fly by radar. So the seeing is not only by eyes, but it can, what like a blind person uses a stick to move around. So he is the Lord of all who see, not only with eyes, but with different ways. And the eye of wisdom is that the third eye is when of enlightenment. That is when the person gets enlightened, when he says his Ajna Chakra opened. It does not mean that he gets a third eye, but he gets the wisdom that I am that, that is the eye of wisdom. So that is a little different from Pashupati. Does it answer your question? Anybody else? Lata, you have question?
Paresham, what did the meaning you
Yeah,
said about that?
parascha ishascha. Isha means the Lord. Para
Right.
means the highest, supreme.
Okay.
There is apara and para.
Right, you said
Apara
that.
means the lower world. Para is that which is beyond
Beyond
this world.
name
So
and form.
para isha, that's yeah. Parascha, parascha.
Paresham, Paraisha. Okay,
Yeah, para
very good.
isha. Yeah.
Paresha. Thank you.
Okay.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's a good, very good stuti. There's a lot of bhakti and knowledge in it.
Knowledge is the
So,
core and nerve of all the sar of the Veda.
yeah, the sar of the Vedas is given in this, so it's very nice. So we'll do try to do two or three shlokas every week. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ओम शांति शांति शांति। हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम।